We're going to take just a moment to end with some thoughts from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to thank Isaac Smay for that great work. We landed in Los Angeles just before midnight on the 4th of July. And we went to the international terminal, and we have to go through what's called passport check. And they look at your passport, scan it, make sure you're the person, and then they say, "Welcome home." They're right, but only partially right. One of the things that God has shown me is that, you know what, we are pilgrims here on earth. This world is a foreign to us, and we're simply passing through. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. We're going to read through verse 21 and make just a few comments. Didn't know exactly how long this was going to go, so I'm prepared for 45 minutes, but we're going to give you about 10 minutes, and then we're going to finish. So this is a condensed version, and I don't know what this condensed version is like, so bear with me. "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died." Take a look at where this progression leads, where we come from, where we end up. "And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We start off as being those who, because we're dead, we died with Christ. We end up being those who are labeled as ambassadors of Christ. Quite a contrast. It's all because of what the Lord Jesus was willing to do. He was willing to be made sin for us, being spotless and holy. He was willing to submit to the will of his Father and by that will perfect us and be able to impute to us righteousness in the place of sin. Verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constrains us." This is why we go. This is why we open our mouths. This is why we get involved with telling others about the Lord Jesus, because we are so amazed at his love for us. It's not our love for him that propels us. It's his love for us, which is beyond scope. When you think of the one who knew no sin, was willing to be made sin for us. Amazing. Now, Paul comes to this conclusion having carefully considered that one died for all, therefore all died. "And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." This passage just is eager for us to consider the scope of the atonement, isn't it? It says that one died for all, therefore all died. But I'd like to forgo that. And I want to take a look at the consequence of the atonement. The scope of the atonement lies within the mind of God. The consequence of the atonement and the responsibility that is enjoined to us is where we get involved. That is where we need to be, have our feet held to the fire. He says, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And this is the essence of substitution, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, you and I were identified with him in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, verse 2, it says that we have died to sin. How can we continue any longer therein? In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, he says that our old man was co-crucified with him. When God looked at the Lord Jesus, he saw each one of us in him. The high priest in the Old Testament had on his breastplate an identification of every tribe that he was representing. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he had each one of us in mind. And God was looking at him as being dying in our place. So when the Lord Jesus died, we died with him and we died to sin. It should no longer reign in our lives. The secret of that is found in verse 11, that we reckon ourselves dead to sin but alive to God. That's how we can be victorious over those things that are in our sin nature. That sin nature still exists. We're not talking about perfectionism. Galatians 5 tells us that the spirit and the flesh war with one another. And we're told that if we are filled with the Spirit, if we submit to the Spirit's control in our lives, we'll not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. We've also, according to Galatians 6:14, we have been crucified to the world and the world to us. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took us with him so that this world, which would want to press us into its mold, that has been crucified to us and we to it. We have the power by God's grace to stand out and be different and not be conformed to this world because of the power of the gospel. And he also says in Galatians 2:20 that we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And the life we now live by the power of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We die to ourself. And this is what he says in verse 14. He died for all so that they might, those who live, I should say, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again. We live for him. This is the purpose he created us, was for him, to be worshipers of him, not worshipers of the things in this world, or worse yet, worshipers of ourselves. The gospel is powerful, and when we appropriate the power therein, it radically changes everything. It changes our goals, it changes our will, and we become a different people. In verse 16, we don't look at people in the same way. We're not concerned about whether someone has a lovely house or a lovely car or dresses well or their hair is proper. We want to know, are they in Christ or are they outside of Christ? If they're in Christ, are they in fellowship with him? We're concerned. We look at people differently. And that's because we are different people. Verse 17 says that we are if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. The word for new, we find it, that little adjective applied to a new song, a new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. It is categorically new. It's not refurbished. You know, you can go out and get some good deals on computers, and if you read in the fine print, refurbished. Well, that kind of scares me. I'm not sure if a refurbished computer is as good as a new one. But I know this, that when God deals with us, he makes us new from the inside out. He places within us his spirit, and he makes us completely new. He gives us new capacities. He gives us a new desire. He gives us new goals. And that's been done because he's reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he's given to us this ministry of reconciliation. We were dead, and now we're ministers of reconciliation. We are servants. We are taking the word of God to those who do not hear it, who have not heard it, I should say. That is a wonderful charge to those who once were dead in their own sins and trespasses. And the message of our reconciliation is this in verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. What a remarkable thing. Psalm 103 says this, He has not dealt with us according to our sins or treated us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad for that? Man, are you. I am so thrilled that God has been gracious to me, and I want to tell others about that. He has removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. My sin and iniquity, He will remember no more. You know, in the Old Testament, every time, as we said earlier, every time that sin offering was given, there was a reminder of sin. But God has removed it through Christ and put it away. And He's committed to us this word of reconciliation. This is what He wants us to speak. And He gives us a new post, and that post is that we are ambassadors for Christ. From being dead to being an ambassador. You know, we have a message, and we represent Him. It's His message. It's not ours. Let's make sure we understand it. Let's make sure we articulate it correctly. And you know, that's an ongoing thing. The gospel is a glorious message. He wants us to open our mouths and speak. And it says, as though God were making an appeal through us. When we open our mouth, it is God who is working. The transformed lives that you have seen here is a consequence of God using ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. It's because we've opened our mouth as His ambassadors, and He's promised then that He would make His appeal through us as we beg others on Christ's behalf to be reconciled with God. Now, salvation belongs to the Lord. God is sovereign in that. I believe that firmly, and that I believe that He uses vessels such as us to implore people to be reconciled to Himself. We do that because He has granted to us authority as well. He tells us that in Matthew chapter 28. All authority has been granted to Him, and on the basis of that, we go and make disciples of all nations. And then we end with this. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, and I'm going to lose it, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The Lord Jesus had our sin imputed to His account. He suffered in our stead so that the righteousness of God could be imputed to us, so that we could be justly reconciled to Him, brought into His family, be made as close to Him as His very Son, because He's placed us into the Lord Jesus. From those who were dead in their trespasses and sins to those who have been given the responsibility of being an ambassador. That has been accomplished because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the message we take around the world, and it begins right here in Temecula Valley. Because this is a foreign country. This is not our home. Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. Is that correct? If our citizenship is in heaven, then this place is not our home. Let's not dig down roots here. Let's push our treasures up into heaven where they'll never fade away. If we've seen in the last year, its treasure can fade away. But what we do for Christ, what He does, I should say, through us, that is something that's reserved in heaven for us. We praise His name. I'd just like to close in prayer, and then we have another song, and then we're going to be through by 11 o'clock. And so thank you very much on behalf of the team, for sending us to Ecuador. It was a thrill. We saw God in great ways, and we saw God in the people who went, which was really just as thrilling. And so we give God thanks for you, for being obedient in sending, for praying, for covering us in prayer. And let's just to thank him afresh. Father, we thank you so much for the great work that the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. We thank you for the power that's resident in that gospel, that it changes us completely and radically. Father, help us to submit to the Spirit's working in our lives. Help us to embrace this charge that you've given to us to be ministers of reconciliation. Help us to represent the Lord Jesus well in every sphere of life to which you have called us. May he be glorified in and through your people, we ask, in his precious name. Amen.